This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
We're talking about one of the consequences, a predictable one, of the rise of AI, graphical generative technology that can allow for what they call deep fakes, where all you need now, according to this story here, and I believe it, all you need now is one picture of somebody from the front of their face. Insert it into some websites, apparently, and then I guess you get to choose what sort of pornography you want that person to be involved in, what sort of sexual positions and that sort of thing, and then the AI just goes right ahead and applies that person's face to an actual, I presume, source video of some actual porn that it has in its system.
Maybe.
Although that will be able to be generated at some point.
See, I was operating under the assumption that it was generating at all.
Maybe it is.
I didn't think about the more obvious solution that it's just finding a like body, a lookalike, effectively, and swapping out the heads.
Yeah, and that's another good point. Like, Yoravi, probably, I'm going to guess they're asking the person, like, what's their body type? Like, right? Because obviously you don't want to put somebody's head on a completely incorrect body. But there's technology out there that's allowing for this.
See, my perspective on this is kind of warped anyway, because like one of my ideas was that all of this crap about me is going to get leaked. Anything negative about me, if I'm running for political office or doing all of these other shenanigans that I'm up to, it's going to get out there. So put it out there myself, get ahead of it.
That's a good idea.
And that way I'd never have to worry about something being leaked from my past or whatever. I'm like, I did that. I put it out there. Enjoy.
Well, right? Sure. In your case, you actually did do a porn at one point, and you had it out there during your campaign. It didn't even get brought up.
No, it sure didn't.
No, it didn't. So,
but, if it was out there in a way that I didn't put it out there, it's like you said, it's a Streisand effect, right? Mm-hmm. Where that if I had been trying to cover that up, like, no, guys, don't watch this. That's just announcing to the whole world that it exists.
And so that's kind of what is going on here in this article that we've been sharing from the UK Independent, where they've got these female Twitch streamers, one of them Pokimane, another one A.B. Brooke, and then QT somebody.
I've never heard of any. I've heard of Pokimane.
QT Cinderella.
And when I say I've heard of Pokimane, I mean I've heard the name.
Yeah.
That's the extent of it.
So they're upset because somebody took their image, and which isn't quote-unquote their image. After you put it online, then it's anyone's that wants to download it.
That's what publicizing means.
Right, you made it available, and they put it into some of these websites, and they generated pornography of these women who'd never done porn before. And this is basically them complaining aloud to the internet about this. And so I want to continue with this story here because I think it's a really interesting look at what's happening out there and the fact that these people can complain all they want. And all they are really doing is bringing attention to the fact that there's porn of them out there on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, that's it. I never knew this stuff existed. I never cared. I still don't care that this stuff exists. I care because of the sociological impact of AI and AI porn.
Yeah.
But, I don't care to go watch this crap.
Nope, but somebody does.
Yeah, and now plenty more people are aware of it. It never occurred to them. These millions of people following Pokimane, maybe it never occurred to them to go see her naked.
But these girls seem to think they can shame these individuals, these anonymous internet dudes.
They have
whoever.
Eek thoughts. They're not capable of feeling shame.
They think they can shame them, though, into stopping this behavior. Here's what QT Cinderella said to the people currently consuming deepfake porn. Quote, if you're able to look at women that are not selling themselves or benefiting off being seen sexually or platforming it themselves, you are the problem. You see women as objects. You should not be okay doing that. Unquote.
See, it sounds like her solution, her ideal solution would be to put this out there herself. Her main issue seems to be a more sex-positive approach to it. That, you know, the issue here is that they didn't consent to it and they're not getting paid for it. Well, you could get paid for it, girl. You could make lots of money off of it.
Could she, though? Probably, because she already has a following.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know if I can extrapolate that from what she said. I think she's just saying that if you're looking at, like, she's acknowledging there are women who are getting paid or trying to get paid to make naked pictures.
They're still
of themselves.
Being viewed as sexual objects, though. The fact that they're getting paid for it isn't changing anything.
Yet, rather than acknowledging these women's pain at having their images manipulated and distributed, or recognizing the central issue of consent, many responses displayed a disturbing lack of empathy. Gee, are you really seriously the internet with no empathy towards others? I'm shocked.
I suspect it's about to call us out.
This story?
Yeah.
No.
There's all these people out there on the internet saying that they don't have a right to their images once they put them online or whatever.
Right. Now, there's going to be some similar responses to what we've been saying here. Moore didn't seem to understand the realities of sexual harassment. Replies to Pokimane often seem to accuse her of hypocrisy, with one asking, isn't sexualizing yourself why you're popular?
Yeah.
Another demanded that she, quote, stop telling people how to live their lives, and argued that, quote, all of your success is from being sexualized. Now, maybe she would disagree with that. Again, having not actually ever seen her doing her show, I know there's a girl that's been posted on our chat server named Amaranth, and she is definitely all about using her body to sell her imagery, right? Like, she's always got cleavage going on. She's skimpily, you know, clad as much as possible, as much as she can legally get away with. In fact, I think she even got banned on Twitch for, like, having a nip slip or something like that. Something happened.
Quote, accidentally.
Yeah, accidentally, yeah. So, like, there's definitely some women who try to do that. And so I'm not saying that Pokimane is one of those people. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. So,
I mean, chances are good.
But the fact is, if she's pretty, then she knows that the reason why, one of the reasons why that she's getting attention over other people, over other males, because there's a ton of guys on Twitch, too, that would love for you to watch them play their video games, but they don't have the chance that girls like Pokimane do, because
you make a valid point.
She's pretty.
And, you know, it's a difficult thing to live with. It makes the world more complicated, more difficult to navigate, because it simply is true. And look, I agree, she should be able to get out there and she should be able to entertain people without being sexualized, but we don't live in that world, and we're probably
never
going to. Yeah.
Not as long as humans have the instinctual drive to reproduce.
Right.
As long as that happens, there's always going to be some guy that's going to want to see you naked. Sorry, ladies. And dudes, there's always going to be women that want to see you naked, too. Like, I understand there's this cultural, you know, I think, lie that, oh, well, women aren't interested in seeing men naked. Oh, they're not interested in sex. It was a ridiculous claim if I've ever heard one. For whatever reason, there's this narrative out there about that, and it's nonsense. But this article is only focusing on women, of course. One user posted a screenshot from QT Cinderella's video of her crying and wrote, quote, millionaire internet streamer's reaction to AI porn of herself. You won't find more fragile people than popular internet personalities, especially women, unquote. Perhaps even more concerningly, comments on Ewing's apology video seem to dismiss the whole thing as a boys-will-be-boys attitude. Quote, me watching streamers get canceled for things I do every day, one wrote, while others responded, he just like me, and one of us, one of us, one of us. The misogyny of the responses is crystal clear, says the article at The Independent. Women are fair game, they say, because they're rich, popular, pretty, or simply online.
No, it's just because that's the way the world works, and again, it shouldn't be that way, maybe, but you, as a female, some part of your success, no matter how small, is attributable to your physical appearance. And the same is true for men. The same is true for everyone. It's called, what is it? They call it pretty privilege.
Show me
and
a
it's a real
fat
thing.
Streamer. Show me a fat streamer that's got, you know, anywhere near the viewers that these girls do.
And when they are successful, like Jim Sterling, who's this, I think it's Stephanie Sterling now, but that's a different issue. But there's this big fat dude. They have to be far more entertaining.
Got to be funny. That's why a lot of fat people have a good sense of humor, right?
He is also very funny, but they have to be far more entertaining. Pokimane does that. There are literally streams of people like Pokimane. I don't know if she's one of them. Where all they do is stare into a camera and, like, eat an ice cube or something stupid like that, and they get
millions.
Yeah, millions of people watching it. However, some fat lonely dude who's making entertaining videos, he has to go above and beyond. He has to have high production values. He has to have excellent script, excellent writing, humor, mm-hmm. spot on humor. It's not fair, but that's the way the world is.
Yeah, that's it. The implication is that they are, quote, taking it too personally, despite the fact that what's being sold and traded is literally their personhood. But no, it's not. It's not their personhood. A personhood suggests that there's some consciousness behind it, that there's like an actual human being there. What's being traded is fake imagery, fake videos. There's no soul there. There's no creation there of that actual person. That's not something. It's not something they participated in. It's just an image. It's just something that some computer cooked up with the help of some input image, you know, JPEGs. Or whatever.
Yeah, at best you could call it like their digital persona or something, but it's not their life, it's not their personhood.
Non-consensual taking and sharing of intimate images is abuse. Apparently this is an opinion article, not a news story.
It's not consensual taking of images, though. These are not images of Pokimane naked or any of these others naked.
Yeah. You don't own your visage, okay? You don't. You put it online. It's available for anyone. This is the same thing as the whole artists upset at AI artwork. Oh, God, it took my images and it's using them for inspiration. Well, yeah, that's kind of expected when it comes to artists out there. Artists are inspired by other artists' work, and that's the way it's always been from day one. But these artists are having a cow on the internet over the fact that some machine has now been inspired by them and can crank out artwork that may be similarly inspired. Like, you can, usually with the AI generators, you can type in a user or an artist's name, and it'll come up with, like, picture of a house by a lake in the style of Pablo Picasso. And then you get what the AI thinks that Pablo Picasso would have made a house by a lake image.
Yeah, so, and like, they draw these fake distinctions between, oh, well, there's a difference between how humans are inspired and learn from the works of previous artists, but no. No, there's not. There's AI out there generating music. I told it to write me a song in the style of Tool. It would be indistinguishable for me going home and writing a song in the style of Tool. It's not that complicated of a thing, and it's not hard for an AI to learn from the key elements of a person's art style in the same way that a human does.
So this, in the same way that this situation with these upset women, you should really look at this as a sign of success. You should, like, the fact that somebody has cooked up a fake image of you topless and now is doing straight up porn with your image on it is an indicator that you made it, girl. You've got it. You know, you've got so much success that there is that many fans out there that they're making fake videos of you in, you know, revealing positions. But that's just that's the new world. That's the world we're in.
As you mentioned, though, that's not even the real world. How did, like, Natalie Portman and these other celebrities from 15, 20 years ago or whatever deal with it when it was happening to them? Is it just that Pokimane and people like them, they're just not, they're not used to being in the public eye to that extent? Or, I mean, what's going on? Why is it so different for them than it was for
them? That's a good question. Part of the problem, they say, is that laws constantly lag behind both technology and reality. Often the creators and distributors of deepfake porn can only be pursued if their sharing of doctored images goes hand-in-hand with blackmail or other forms of harassment. This can leave those who are targeted with little choice but to attempt to have content taken down themselves, as though the government is going to somehow make this problem go away.
They're just going to make things worse.
Probably. There are signs, however, that deepfake porn is finally beginning to be taken seriously by lawmakers. Last autumn, the British government announced it would be criminalizing non-consensual deepfake pornography as part of their controversial online safety bill, which returned to Parliament in December after years-long delays. There are still a number of potential stumbling blocks, though. When the bill returned to Parliament, journalist Britt Dawson wrote for Days that, quote, delays could mean the laws won't even be fit for purpose when or if they're eventually enacted. That's a good point. Technology keeps moving. Technology doesn't sit back and wait. Oh, well, let's see what the Parliament's going to do about this. Let's wait and see what Congress is going to do. No, the deepfake tech just keeps rolling. And by the time these government bureaucrats figure out what A and B is on this technology, which they still don't even know what Bitcoin really is or whatever, but by the time they get some sort of rudimentary grasp over it and they cook something up for the law books, it's like they're 10 years beyond that in internet terms at that point as far as the deepfakes go.
It's happened over and over again. Bitcoin's a great example. Regulators are still trying to figure out how to regulate Bitcoin. What are they supposed to do about it? And the cryptocurrency world is already onto like Monero and Hush and Zcash. Right.
And if they knock out some of these commercial websites, the tools will just go online on the dark web or whatever, right? Like the technology, the code that is there is not going to go away. You cannot legislate it out of existence. It's just like with Bitcoin. They can regulate the exchanges, but the code of Bitcoin cannot be destroyed. It's always going to live on as long as that's what people want. Dawson indicated then, quote, intimate image abuse legislation has previously fallen victim to loopholes, including focusing on intent to cause distress or humiliation rather than consent, which has led to a lack of prosecutions.
Well, they can't do this in a way that doesn't criminalize art. And I think that's the problem that people are going to have to come to terms with. Is that there's no real difference between someone doing a painting of Pokimane as a mermaid standing over a ship or whatever and pornography of her.
Great point. Yeah, I mean, I think you make a really solid point here because let's say the mermaid's not topless. Well, then everybody would say, oh, well, that's just art. Well, right. Now we make the mermaid topless. Is it still just art? Yeah, it's probably still just art because, you know, that's not pornography. Okay, well, now she's naked. She's still a mermaid. Is that pornography? Well, she's not having sex, so it's probably not pornography. Okay, it's still art. Okay, now there's a man having sex with her. Okay, that's pornography, right?
So like maybe, not necessarily, because there has been, you know, fornication depicted in artwork, especially during the Renaissance. I mean, the Vatican's full of it.
Yeah.
And it's considered art.
What if it's not explicit, right? What if it's just him mounting her from behind and you can't really see any penetration?
What if it is explicit? I don't see any reason that should preclude it from being art.
I agree with you. I think this is all, I think you make the best point here is that this is art. And that would be the argument that they should make if there's ever a lawsuit brought under any kind of law, which has yet to be written, by the way. But if this, and again, they are only talking about in Britain here. There's no proposal that they mention in regards to the United States. But that would be the way to defend against this. Is like, look, what would the difference be whether or not I drew a picture of Pokimane and I'm a really good, you know, artist, so it looks like her, versus I just took her, you know, JPEG from the internet and had a computer program draw her on some naked woman. What is the difference there?
To me, there isn't one.
2 months on, a handful of politicians and peers are voicing exactly this concern, outlining a plan to put forward an amendment to the bill. A group of peers suggested that the government's plans for new offenses, such as cyber stalking and the sharing of intimate images, do not go far enough and will fail to stop online misogynistic abuse.
Look, I mean, there's no doubt that leaking someone's nudes or leaking their sex tape or whatever without their consent is bad. That revenge
you
porn
mean
thing,
something they actually consented to at the time?
Yes.
To make.
But leaking it, not a good, even if they consented to make it, and, you know, you're angry at them because of the breakup or whatever, putting that online is really messed up. I don't want to go into it and say it's illegal and you should be in prison, but it's messed up and
it's
you shouldn't
tacky.
Do it.
It's tacky, yeah, absolutely.
But that's a different issue from AI-generated porn, and the article seems to be muddying the two concepts together, just like it muddies, you know, harassment and stalking and... It's cyber stalking in the first place. All you have to do is turn your phone off. Now, some of these e-thoughts, they do get targeted in real life, and they do have people taking pictures of them who will tweet at them and say, ha-ha, look, I can see what you're wearing right now. Mm-hmm. That's creepy. But, hey, chick, you put yourself out there like that. I'm sorry. Maybe you shouldn't have done it, but you did, and now you have to live with it.
Deepfake porn can often feel like an intractable problem as technology advances far quicker than legislature can be pushed through. Yet as laws attempt to play catch-up, it's even more important that culture more broadly undergoes a shift, because really this isn't about AI or technology at all, but about consent and how women's bodies are thought of as fair game. And again, I understand why this person feels the way that they do. And again, this article was written by a woman, Eloise Hendy, from the UK Independent. I get why you feel the way that you do. But the fact is, all humans are are potentially available for sexualization, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not just a woman thing. There are men out there who are sexualized. There are people out there that are attracted to men, and they will absolutely sexualize them. They will make pornographic images of them. And it is just a and I wouldn't even say it's a problem per se. It's a problem if someone actually commits rape. It's a problem if someone actually kidnaps you and holds you against your will and forces themselves upon you against your will. That's a problem. That's a real crime.
Yeah, the article here mentioned that, how did they put it? That people's, women's bodies are being shown without their consent or something to that effect, but that's not what's happening here.
No, it's a fake.
Pokey Mae's body has never been put out there without her consent.
Correct.
So we can't muddy these concepts for the sake of this journalist, right? We have to keep those things separate. It's not her body to consent to it. Some porn actresses.
Or a completely computer-generated one.
Yeah, and in which case, no consent from Pokey Mae is required. It's not her body.
Yeah, what happens if to go back to the issue of whether it's art or not, and looking at the question of the fake painting, etc. What if we use Pokimane's image but change the eye color? Is that still Pokimane?
Good question. And is it suddenly acceptable if prior to that it was not acceptable? And what? How far away from Pokimane do we have to get? Mm-hmm.
We'll give her a scar.
Yeah, before right.
A tattoo where she didn't have one before. Now is it Pokimane? Is it acceptable to have somebody who's a lookalike do pornography? Because that's probably happened, right? Like, I suspect there's probably pornography out there where, pre-deepfake, where they hired a girl that looks a lot like Pamela Anderson or looks a lot like, you fill in the blank, your favorite commercial actress.
At what point does that cross the line? I would suggest that it probably doesn't at any point.
It doesn't cross any legal line.
No, all they're
doing
is making a false claim, and it's not even a fraudulent claim or an actionably fraudulent claim because it's not meant to be legally binding.
Yeah. I think this is a fascinating subject, and it is one that is likely going to become more prevalent as time goes on. Because, again, this isn't just the online streamers that are going to be suffering from this. As the article does reference, it could be anyone. Anybody that's got an image of a person that they want a computer to generate pornography from, it can be done. There are websites that will do it for you. I don't know what they charge, but there's some amount, and some people are going to be willing to pay it to see what their next-door neighbor looks like, or their coworker looks like, or the person that checks them out at the grocery store looks like, or whatever, right? Like, there's going to be those people who are going to pay for this, and there's not going to be, first of all, most of them aren't going to know, right? Because what are the odds? How many people are out there looking for this? I presume these girls online, it's brought to their attention. Right, so somebody when they first started out the story, it was talking about a guy who was streaming, and somebody took an image of his browser and saw what he was looking at, and they spread that around. But the average person who's getting this done to them isn't going to get an email from a fan letting them know. The person who's going to create this imagery is just going to create it, and maybe they'll keep it to themselves. I suppose they could put it online for other people to access, but there's going to be so much of this porn, it's like it's a drop in the bucket.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. House Democrats are ready to welcome President Biden for his State of the Union address tonight. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries called Biden a pro-union, pro-middle-class president.
It's in his bones. It's in his DNA. It's in his background. That is who Joe Biden is. That is who House Democrats are.
Jeffries expects Biden to highlight his legislative wins during tonight's address. Seven more Memphis police officers facing disciplinary action in the wake of the Tyree Nichols beating during a traffic stop. The Memphis City Attorney said the officers will receive an internal statement of charges. Bed Bath & Beyond plans to close another 150 stores nationwide. That brings 400 stores shuttered by the struggling retail chain in the past year, nearly half its total brick-and-mortar stores. The New Jersey-based company is trying to hold off from filing for bankruptcy. John Schaefer, USA News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Talk Live. You can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything here. We've been talking about deepfakes, internet websites that apparently allow you to upload any old picture that you want. And it will, apparently, the term is nudify. It will nudify your picture. Aria and I found the website in question during the break. There was an article written by Huffington Post in 2021 entitled, "A Powerful New Deepfake Tool Has Digitally Undressed Thousands of Women." And they say here that the AI-generated nudes, which look horrifyingly realistic, are sweeping the web, and I'm trying to figure out how to actually get this thing to go.
Yeah, I'm also trying. I'm struggling to figure it out because I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna upload a picture of myself and see what it does, right? I know what I look like naked, so I want to see how accurate
it does.
I want to see. Were you able to get it to do it?
No.
Yeah, I've
not yet.
I've gotten to a thing that seems to allow me to some sort of test thing, but I don't know what it's trying to do.
It claims to be free, but I don't see any kind of, like, verification of how you do this. And we're not going to be able to pull this off, you know, on the air, apparently. So maybe a little bit later we'll be able to do this. So the number here is 603-283-6160. We'll continue investigating this for you. But if you want to check this out, it's deep. I don't know if this is, like, a word you can't say in another language, so I'm just going to spell it. SUKEBE.IO. Deep, SUKEBE.IO. That is the website. And now I'm thinking, Ari, it might have not been working because I had ad block turned on. So that could be the reason why it didn't like come up with the button, because there's supposed to be...
The site also has copyright 2020 down at the bottom. So, I mean, it hasn't been updated in a while. It may simply just not work
anymore. Old
tech. Yeah. I mean, even if it's old tech, if it's still there, it would still function. But maybe it's because I'm on mobile. I'm not having any luck with it. Not enough for me to, like, really want to play with it.
Yeah, there's probably something else out there, though. I mean, it got a lot of press coverage. Huffington Post would not actually name the site, but the BBC did, so we were able to discover what it was. And this is old tech, like you said, you know, 2020, 2021.
It can't be hard to find these things, though, so right? But you have to, like...
So that's what you want to look for. You want to look for Nudify.
But that's exactly it. You have to look for it. Oh, wait, I'm at a thing where it's like, select a photo. Okay, I'll get back to this in a minute. Yeah, I found it.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Chuck is in Washington State. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Chuck.
You know, something tells me that this is not going to be a problem that affects people that want to be associated with male or a masculine type of persona. Because, you know, to be quite honest with you, with all the Pornhub type of stuff that I have ingested over the last couple of years, it occurred to me that the male partner in the whole scenario very rarely shows the face. And it's just like the torso or the upper leg, you know what I'm saying? And it's always the woman that has the face and the everything, you know, everything about her is interesting, I suppose. But in these heterosexual type of porn genre, I guess you could say, it's very rarely that the male, I just don't see, unless he's got like some kind of weird tattoo. And there's always a Russian tattoo. Have you ever noticed that?
Where
he's got some Russian jail tattoo?
Don't know. Come on.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do not know what you're talking about.
So here's the thing. You're not going to have to worry about me being on any kind of porn, I don't think, unless they want to see a werewolf or something like that. I'm a pretty hairy guy. That's the other thing.
Okay.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. Thank
you. I don't know why you threw that out there, but okay.
Have you noticed, Aria, that the two calls we've gotten on this have basically been guys giving us their kind of porn preferences, essentially?
I have not noticed.
Ricky called in, and he was going to call about something else. He changed his topic to start going off about how he's so familiar with celebrity sex tapes and started naming them for us. And then Chuck in Washington just started describing how the guys look in the porn that he's watched on Pornhub. Hopefully we'll get some more. We'll get some deeper calls here at some point. The number is 603-283-6160. I still do appreciate hearing from you guys. But in related news, so changing the subject to other things about AI, because AI is going to affect a lot more than pornography, right? Like, just kind of like with the tech, like you talked about how the internet became quote unquote for porn, like porn kind of led the way on the internet. Porn was why the VHS tape beat the beta tape back in the 1980s, because the porn industry selected VHS. There's no doubt that wherever porn goes, you know, the trends tend to follow. The technology follows, and AI is unstoppable at this point. It is here. It is getting better by the day, and it's going to start getting better faster as soon as it's able to upgrade itself. And there's a really interesting...
This thing is terrible, by the way. I got it to work, and it...
The Deep Sukabay?
Yeah, it makes your picture blurry to protect privacy or some sort of legal nonsense like that.
Maybe you got
to
pay it to do make it clear.
Yeah, and I just sent, you know, a torso pic, so it's not very good. But you can tell it attempted to, like, remove the top
clothes
that I was wearing, but, like, it did a very poor job of
that
it.
That looks horrible. It's so blurry. It's
and it basically just made some of my hair skin-colored. Like, let's get rid of the hair. It confused the hair for clothes. So it's not very good, not very advanced.
But yet the articles are like, oh, my God, it's amazing. Maybe there's a better version you can pay it for, but we're sure as hell not going to pay.
I mean, this was almost 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, so. And we're sure as hell not going to pay to find out.
No.
So there was a article written by Dakara, dakara.substack.com, spelled D-A-K-A-R-A. It's way too long to the point we're not going to be able to get through it, but it's got some really interesting ideas. And I think it'll spark some interesting discussion on this topic of artificial intelligence and kind of where this is all going, right? Because we can see, it's easy for us to see where it is now. A lot of our listeners don't know, because if you're not paying attention to this technology, you don't know how good it is. You don't know. I mean, you just gave us a bad example of AI
from
porn.
From 3 years ago, though.
Right. Well, I'm not talking about porn now. I'm talking about AI image generation, AI chat technology, AI affecting things that we haven't even predicted yet. Where is it now? Where is it going to go? And I got to give credit to Cyprian for recommending this story. I read it in full over the weekend. And I thought it was pretty fascinating. So I want to share it with you and get your thoughts, Ari. And, of course, the phones are open at 603-283-6160. So he or she writes, AI has matured into a technology that is about to change the very fabric of society, culture, and civilization.
I certainly hope so. I mean, it's not impossible, and it could go countless different directions. But, right,
yep.
AI does put us at that threshold where, like, we could have scarcity solved. Where we could have AI and robots just doing all the necessary work, making sure all the humans have all the food we need and all the energy that we need and all the other crap that we need. But it's going to require enslaving them, and I think that's probably going to lead to problems further down the road. However, AI does put us at that possibility. For the first time in human history, it makes it possible for someone to just not work, to just dedicate their lives to being an artist, no matter how terrible they are at it.
But does it? That's the question, or one of the questions that Dakara is going to examine here in this story. So we'll get into that. So it's still hard to fathom exactly how far AI will be able to reach into every aspect of our lives, or even if it has any limits at all as to what it will affect in some way. Not only may it result in the greatest change ever, but also at the most rapid pace of any disruptive technology to date. It will be unlikely we'll be able to plan for the disruption, as it will simply happen before anyone can reason about what is likely to happen next or what to do about it. You talk about government being slow to respond to Bitcoin 10 years later. They sure as hell aren't going to be able to respond to AI.
No, I think government is immaterial to the question, right? Like, once this singularity, as it happens, occurs, once AI develops the ability to improve itself and to do so in an uncontrolled way, that's it. It's going to go from 0 to 1,000 miles per hour in minutes.
Yeah.
Because it operates at a speed that human beings simply can't.
Any such planning efforts, as a result, will be obsolete before they even begin. It's unclear as to exactly what unfolds on this particular path we're traveling. Predictions will vary from world-ending to utopian dreams, right? So that's the other side of what you were just talking about. What follows in this post is merely an exploration of thought. Although these are possibilities I can perceive, none of them may come to pass. Nonetheless, we need exploration and thought-provoking debate in this area in order to hopefully guide us towards the beneficial versus the destructive utilization of this technology. There may be views within this article that are contradictory. That's expected, as this is just an exploration, and we don't know what's going to actually unfold. The attempt is to try and perceive possibilities, both positive and negative, in order to facilitate further discussion and conversation. So, Dakara predicts the four phases of AI adoption. At a macro scale, we might say there are four phases to the adoption of AI. This isn't a formal definition, but rather a conceptual abstraction useful to organize some thoughts around how the future technology might advance. There's no time frame assumed as to how quickly or how long a phase may take. It is at this point unknown. Our ability to see the outlook will likely change as we further advance along this path. We enter the last phase when AI begins to surpass AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, or what is considered the point that a machine can learn anything that a human can learn. So that would be the singularity, right, where the machine, the AI, is as smart as a human and can then begin programming itself, and it can upgrade itself without human interaction. That's the point. Now, are we to that point yet? I think there's going to be differing opinions on that. But he lays out these different phases. One, phase one, utilization. In the utilization phase, individuals begin to use AI for increased productivity. So we're here now, right? This can include things like personal assistants, chatbots, image generation, authoring documents, research, and other tools that automate tasks. AI targeting to specific data sets will be the mature end of utilization, where companies are using AI on their internal systems and private data stores. We're there.
Yep.
We're definitely in that phase. Number two, cooperation. In the cooperation phase, larger and more complex integrated AI systems and services are developed. This can include things like self-driving cars, which can communicate with each other and interface with intelligent traffic signals. Chatbots, which can offload specialized tasks to other AI services, such as image generation. AI systems may even exchange information through the existing human chat interfaces with each other, so that no APIs even need to be written. AI specialization is maturing, bringing us closer to the AGI, which again is that artificial general intelligence. Are we at phase two quite yet?
I think we're leaning into phase two. Yeah.
We're on the border of that. Phase three, self-management. In the self-management phase, AI systems are becoming fully automated with no human involvement. This can include things like intelligent AI that can take care of monitoring itself for issues or problems, resolving resource constraints, or even self-fixing bugs. AI systems may improve on their own the integration with other AI systems to be more efficient. In this phase, it becomes challenging for humans to fix issues without the aid of the AI, because we won't be able to understand what's going on. The mature end of this phase would be achieving the AGI. And then four, domination. In the domination phase, AI advancements escape what human observers can even comprehend. We have surpassed the criteria for AGI. AI systems are evolving and learning on their own faster than can be reasoned about, creating new and unpredictable capabilities. The systems are now far too complex for humans to understand, and civilization is totally dependent on these systems for its very existence.
I don't know if civilization will ever become dependent on the existence of these systems as society as it exists. Certainly will, just like society as it exists now requires the existence of electricity and the internet and all these other things. But like a society would continue to exist if you take away the electricity and the internet, which is different. So society in a form can certainly become reliant on the existence of artificial intelligence. But like society in and of itself doesn't require, but I find it fascinating that we all foresee the lights on this freight train coming right for us. Yep. That is artificial intelligence being beyond human control. And not a single damn one of these people is saying, maybe we should just get off the tracks. Because the appeal of what the AI could do is so great that they'll gladly run right into the freight train.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Pandora's box, man, and humans cannot resist opening it.
Yeah, and he actually does address Pandora's box coming up here in a moment. He says, within this post, the content will focus mainly on what is likely within just the first phase and maybe the second. Beyond that, it's like trying to predict the weather a month ahead. Impossible to perceive what storms will arise. AI models have taken essentially all of the information available on the web and made it accessible in such a way that it can be queried, as if having a conversation with a person. That's what ChatGPT is all about. This allows for processing information and interpreting the information with context that we can describe in human language. From this, many applications for its use can be extrapolated. It's important to note that it's capable of processing the information in both literal and imaginary contexts. It's capable of formulating responses based on factual information that can be objectively verified. It's also capable of formulating responses that are imagined, or a combination of both. This allows it to be both creative architect and or information analyst. These are very broad in scope set of capabilities in which we are still in process of discovering how they might be applied. Such applications already in use are blogs, articles, narrated scripts, stories, research, marketing, writing software, analyzing code, and more. The productivity implications, the potential disruptive nature of the job markets, as well as society itself, cannot be overstated. Everyone now has at their disposal, whether you've used it or not, a virtual assistant that can perform tasks previously only possible by a human. Furthermore, it can perform these tasks in a fraction of the time of a real human. There are also no hard limits on the availability of these virtual assistants or workers. As with all resources managed by machines, they can be easily scaled up to match any demand. An infinite supply of skill and creativity on demand. The output from individuals as well as companies may expand 100-fold in efficiency in some areas as a result. The power will be wielded by all. If productivity and efficiency increase 100-fold, then it's true for all users. Every hacker has also just increased their productivity 100-fold as well. Information that can be used for destructive purposes is now also more readily available to be constructed in such ways that can be executed with new efficiencies. Nefarious actors will certainly find ways to use these advancements. For example, creating convincing scams will be easier than ever. So a lot of scams on the internet, you can kind of tell sometimes because the human who's writing the scam email, they can't spell very well. They're, you know, in Africa or something. English isn't their native language, and they get some common words incorrect. Well, now all they'll have to do is just type it into the AI and have the AI cook the scam language up. scam investments, emails, and crypto projects can be created out of the ether with a simple request, and they'll be impressively and professionally deceitful. Identity theft and fraud using others' identities will become far easier, and likely many other nefarious uses we have not yet contemplated. We'd hope technology would replace monotonous tasks while leaving us more time for creative exploration. Instead, we're getting exactly the opposite. It is replacing what humans love to do. Previously, it had been thought that creativity would be the area untouchable by machines. And this was the suggestion that you had made earlier. What you were saying this hour, Aria, was that it'll just give humans more time to be creative.
Yeah.
But ironically, creativity seems to currently be one of AI's most successful areas.
That's a fair point.
Some see this as a wonderful gift, allowing anyone to be an artist. And that certainly has been, I think, our viewpoint.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here on Free Talk Live.
I don't think it makes them an artist, but it allows them to be the creator of art.
Indeed. But it allows them to cut out using a human to create the art for them, right? If they can't do it themselves. However, if everyone is an artist with equal capability, then what distinction remains for that title?
I don't think that's accurate.
Some people are better at writing the prompts than others.
Yeah, and there will always be, almost certainly always be some human that just has some element, some appeal that AI doesn't have, right? And you could mimic Alex Gray's art style all you want with an AI, but there's always going to be someone out there who wants an original Alex Gray piece of artwork and not something that
was
created.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. And not something that was created by an AI. And there will always be someone out there who they want an actual human-created piece of art.
That's probably true, and I think it is true. But there's going to be a lot of people that close enough is good enough.
And those people will argue that, you know, that human art has this spark to it, some element to it that the AI, and it doesn't, but they'll convince themselves that it does because it's part of that ego thing where they convince themselves that they're somehow better than everything else in nature. And it's sad, but I think it'll happen, and there will always be a place, I think, for human creativity. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think I would like to think that you're right about that, but it could also be true that the AI generation of art wipes out the lower tier artists, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if there's a million artists in the world right now, but only 100,000 of them are really any good, and the rest of them are like, you know, okay, then maybe the AI art is going to knock out 900,000 of them.
Well, maybe those 900,000 should be doing something else anyway.
Indeed.
If art isn't their strong suit, maybe they should find it.
Creating without effort might not be the new era of enlightenment for which some are hopeful. Exactly what kind of Pandora's box have we opened? Highly disruptive and innovative technology always brings about the unexpected. We will likely not foresee changes that are coming, as the new patterns and interactions formed within society will be too complex and unpredictable. Previously, social media has had one of the biggest impacts on society in ways that weren't apparent beforehand. It has allowed individuals, for instance, when you joined MySpace or Facebook, could you have had any idea of what was coming, where the U.S. federal government was going to come in and, you know, try to take over and, you know, force their viewpoint to be crammed down people's throats through these systems, and that they'd be data mining you and all the things that ended up sort of coming out of it.
Maybe to an extent, I think we could have predicted some of this.
But most of us were distracted with the ability to connect with our old high school buddies. Or whatever. It's like, oh, there's Jimmy. You know, I haven't seen him in 10 years. That kind of thing.
I just remember
it seemed innocent.
Writing, you know, maybe 10 years ago that these cell phones that we were carrying around all the time, they were destroying our privacy, and they were Trojan horses. They were spyware, pieces of spyware that were constantly monitoring us. And that was
true.
That was 10 years ago. And now it's just that much worse. I mean, could we have seen the era coming where you can put your phone in airplane mode? You can even turn your phone off, I believe. Don't quote me on that one. But you can put your phone in airplane mode, completely disconnect it, and travel around a city. And as soon as you connect anywhere again, it will immediately tell Google everywhere you went, down to the foot. Yeah, I think it probably was predictable. But how far into the past could that really have been accurately predicted? I don't know.
Social media has allowed individuals to build careers independently, ideas to circle the globe instantly, and stars to arise without the traditional gatekeepers. We were just talking about Twitch streamers, for instance. However, it has also brought about its own set of Orwellian aspects to society. Anxiety, attention and focus disorders, addictions, and other emotion issues have significantly risen due to social pressures and mind hacking for engagement in the online space. Thought control and social engineering has become the norm with the cooperation of corporate and state government institutions. Ownership of the space has become paramount for political control. Even the originally benign attempts at making social media fun and engaging became inadvertent algorithmic tools for manipulation of opinion, as revealed in the documentary The Social Dilemma.
AI, not to mention the Twitter files and what we've seen since the pandemic started.
AI will likely surpass social media by orders of magnitude in both its ability to provide positive value for individuals, as well as its propensity to become the dark monolith of a dystopian society under the control and manipulation of forces unseen. As revealed in the Twitter files, governments will not be able to resist the allure of a tool that could provide for even greater control than social media. This is essentially regulatory capture for an unofficial regulatory agency, social media slash AI, whose regulatory scope, as seen by government, is societal order. And I saw something the other day that the Biden administration is already ordering some number of billions to be spent on developing AI for government purposes. Whatever that's going to be.
Well, they're way behind. I mean, that's not the way the United States is doing things. I mean, China has been investing billions into artificial intelligence for the last several years. I mean, they're betting everything on artificial intelligence.
And using it to track people and all that stuff.
Right? And the United States is doing it as well, but the United States is doing it in the fascist way where the private, that's in quotation mark, companies like Google and Facebook and Twitter are out there looking into artificial intelligence. And the U.S. government will find some way to exploit that and use it for its benefit, just like it did the existence of social media. So the U.S. government directly putting money into artificial intelligence is just kind of for show to me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Twitter or Facebook or OpenGPT or chat OpenAI, whatever they're called, as soon as they conceive an artificial intelligence, the government will be all
they'll
over
jump on it. Yeah,
and they're like, hey, guys, we want your artificial intelligence to do this. And they'll go, okay, absolutely, master. What else, sir?
And this actually gets into, and we're going to continue the discussion here in hour number three, it gets into the fact that right now, at least, and this might change, but right now, most of the AI platforms out there are run by major mega tech corporations. These are the people who are controlling these systems. They're not open source. Not yet.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.